Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Just lift your hands to the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means His power is as real today as when He parted the Red Seas, when He healed the leper. His power is as real today as when He rose from the dead on Resurrection Sunday morning. And His power is present to heal us, to deliver us from every vexation, every torment. Some of you are under a demonic attack right now. Thoughts are coming against you. There's warfare against your mind trying to rob you of peace, and I break it in the name of Jesus. There's someone here who's struggling with migraine headaches coming across the side of your head. I speak healing over you right now in the name of Jesus. If you have hip problems, soreness, arthritis in your hip, I see somebody's got arthritis in their tailbone, just at the very base of their spine. I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. If you need a touch, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just lift your hand and connect with His healing power and receive what He has for you in this place right now. Father, I thank You for Your mighty miracle power. Lord, for healing us and setting us free. And Lord, from the thoughts and the torments of the enemy, Lord, thank You for delivering us and breaking the power of the accuser, silencing our enemy in the gate in the name of Jesus. Lord, we claim authority right now in this atmosphere over your presence, Lord. We thank You for Your power dropping down on us right now to heal us, to free us, and to strengthen us, Lord. Thank You for those, Lord, today that just feel weary. They're battling a spirit of weariness that's just come on them, and they're weary of life. Lord, I take authority over that depression, discouragement, life weariness. That's not the spirit of God. That's an evil spirit. I break its power right now in Jesus' name. And I loose, Lord, Your peace. There's a situation where there's been strife, like a force, a wave of strife has come into your relationships. I take authority over that right now in the name of Jesus. I speak harmony, wholeness, and peace in every family, in every marriage. Lord, we pray for marriages today, Lord. We break the spirit of strife right now. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. We take authority, Lord, over all the works of darkness, Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to Him be glory. Lord, we bless You for Your power, Lord, to still, Lord, the storm, to calm the storm, Lord, to bring healing and life, Lord, wherever it's needed. Lord, touch each person right at their point of need. I know, Lord, that You brought us together because You want to do a deep work in our hearts. So we open our hearts to You, Lord. We allow You to have Your way in our lives, Lord. We give You this time. Speak to us from the Word, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, look at you guys. You made it back. I'm glad, all right? You're not in a carb coma, all right? You're okay. How many had a nice Thanksgiving time? You're grateful for all the good things. I'm glad. It's like, you know, I sat there on Thanksgiving Day and I said, oh, I can't eat another bite. Oh, wait, there's pie. And it just seemed like there was room. But anyway, we're grateful for the good things of God. We can, like the book of Nehemiah says, eat the fat and drink the sweet. That's what we did. All right. Praise the Lord. Now we're back to reality. Let's get into the message. If you have a teaching outline, grab that, your Bible, your digital device. Welcome everybody online and in the cafe. Today we're just going to wrap up this little series we've been doing called Small Things. We're talking about how small things are a pretty big deal. When it comes to God, you know, He's not limited by many or by few. God can use just a few small things to get His work done. We should never be discouraged with small beginnings, a small faith, or this issue of faithfulness, which is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the opportunity, the pleasure, the joy of being faithful in small things. Everyone say faithful. Faithful. in small things. I grew up with dogs. I love dogs. Any dog people here? You like dogs? I mean, I had big dogs. We had two big white German shepherds. The first one was Harley. The second one was Davidson. That's right. And I had two Great Danes, Justin and Jason. I like big dogs. And these were watchdogs. They were good dogs, and they ate a lot of dog food. And I just never forget the faithfulness of a dog. You know, dogs are just faithful animals. I'll never forget this one time. Davidson was our second white German shepherd, and he had a little kind of sheen of gold on his back, but he was pure white and just a beautiful, beautiful dog. My brother, Davidson was his dog. My brother had a 72 Harley Davidson Sportster that he parked in our garage. It was beautiful, black, lots of chrome, just a beautiful bike, and Davidson was his dog, and he had that Harley Davidson Sportster. And one night, it wasn't all that unusual for the dogs to be barking at night, because we lived kind of in a canyon area where there was raccoons and squirrels and whatever, so they'd bark, you know, here and there. But one night, Davidson was just barking so loud, and he wouldn't stop. We didn't really get up to because it didn't seem that unusual. Eventually, the barking stopped. We all kind of went back to sleep and just kind of went on with the night. And in the morning, we all woke up, and we went to go feed the dogs, and Davidson was gone. The dog run that he lived in, the gate was still locked, but he had somehow got up over the top of that dog run, and he was gone. And we thought, oh, man, what's happened? And we thought, what was it last night? Then we went around to the side of the house where the garage door was, the side entrance to the garage door, and there the door had been kicked open. And we saw that my brother's Sportster that was in the garage was gone. Now we put two and two together. Somebody had stolen his Harley, and that's what Davidson was going crazy barking for. So we waited a day. Davidson didn't come back. 2 days, he didn't come back. On the third day, we're thinking, what in the world? Where is this dog? And we filed the police report with the police. They came and took it, but they don't do a whole lot with a stolen motorcycle, but they said they would try. Suddenly on the third day, we got a call from our neighbor down at the bottom of the canyon, down where the creek was. And he said, don't you guys have a white German shepherd? We said, yes, we do. And he said, don't you guys have a Sportster? Doesn't somebody in your family drive a Harley Davidson? Yes. They said, well, would you come down? Because that Harley is down in the creek. And there's a white German shepherd who's been here for 3 days, and he won't let any of us on our property, because our property is right near where this Harley is. That dog was guarding the motorcycle that had been abandoned. We put two and two together that the guy had tried to jumpstart the motorcycle, couldn't get it going. When he got all the way down to the bottom of the canyon, the only way for him to go was up, and he abandoned it in the creek, and our dog had chased the motorcycle down. I don't know if he got out while it was being stolen, but there that dog was, that German Shepherd protecting that Harley Davidson. That's a faithful dog. Come on. I mean, dogs are awesome, right? So my question for us is, are we faithful? Do we have in our relationships, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with responsibility, are we faithful like that? Today, I want to ask that question and challenge us a little bit, because Jesus said that faithfulness was an important ingredient in serving him. Luke 16, verse 10 says, if you are faithful in what? The little things. Now, we're all ready to be faithful in the stuff that really matters, but what about the little things? Faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Now, if you want to circle a couple of words, you can circle that word faithful, because we're certainly going to talk about that today. That's our topic, on faithful in the small things. But I like that word responsibilities. Actually, our culture doesn't seem to like that word. But circle that word responsibilities, because it seems like everybody's trying to get out of responsibilities while Jesus is calling us to be faithful in our responsibilities. You see, faithfulness is not, If we say, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is not just something that we do repetitively. It's not like an OCD condition, you know, where we have to just do every Tuesday we do this, every Wednesday we do this, that kind of a thing. Faithfulness is about a relationship that we have with responsibility. It's about what we are responsible for as a father or as a wife or as a son or as an employee. Faithfulness is about issues of responsibility. And Jesus is saying, take responsibility in life, because the people that I'm raising up are responsible and able to handle the small things in life. He calls us to be faithful. Now, what does faithful mean? I think the story of Davidson protecting that 72 Sportster at the bottom of a creek is a pretty good picture. Faithfulness could speak of loyalty. It could speak of a firm resistance to desertion. We're not going to desert. We're not going to betray. We're not going to fall apart. There's a kind of a loyalty aspect to that. And that steadfastness too. Faithfulness kind of speaks about being strong and regular and reliable and trustworthy, resolute, adhering to specifically a promise or a vow. If you're an officer of the law or a sworn constitutional leader, or somebody who's taken an oath, a married person, somebody who's made a vow, you say, no, I'm gonna stick to my word on this. This is not gonna be about my moods. It's not gonna be about my circumstances. I'm gonna make this right. That's faithfulness. And another way of saying faithfulness is commitment to the things of duty. These are conversations the world doesn't seem to want to have: responsibility, duty. We want our options. We like to be able to choose. We like freedom. We don't want to be pinned down by anything. But here's Jesus knocking on the door of our heart saying, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Can you be faithful? So I want to share a few things with you about faithfulness today. Four principles, in fact, that I believe will benefit us. And listen, faithfulness is the glue that holds our society together. It's really, when it comes to families, when it comes to everything that we care about, Jesus puts his finger on it. He says, hey, faithfulness is at the heart of it. For example, if you have a nurse, but she's not faithful, or you have a spouse, but he's not faithful, or if you have a spiritual leader, and they're not faithful, you can see how families, churches, healthcare, all kinds of things in society that are so important start to break down because of the faithfulness of the people that are involved. So Jesus calls us to a high level of faithfulness, a high level of responsibility. And look, I don't want you to, I think you might be thinking, man, I don't need another lecture about responsibility. This is not a lecture about responsibility. Actually, this will relieve you. This will help you. Because so many times when I feel overwhelmed with responsibilities, it's because I don't have my head on right. What Jesus is saying is just be faithful in the little things. In other words, if you're faithful in the little things, the big things have a way of taking care of themselves. Everybody's trying to be faithful with the big thing. We're all trying to manage the universe and do a good job. We can't. The Lord just says, relax. Just turn that over to me. Let me be God, and you just be faithful in the little things. That makes life manageable. That makes life doable. Come on, you know that's right. Amen? So let me share with you four things about this issue of faithfulness that I believe will help you in every area of your life. Number one, God is faithful, and we can be too. Aren't you glad that God is faithful? He really is. Let me just remind you, God said, I'm faithful. Deuteronomy 7, remember that the Lord your God is the only God, and that he is, what? Faithful. Circle that word, faithful. I'm going to come back to it in just a minute. Let me finish reading this verse. He is faithful. He will keep his covenant and show his constant love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and obey his commands. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here today because I've been faithful. I'm here today because God is faithful. God is so faithful, so steady, so reliable. When we mess up, he stays together. He is strong. He's a faithful God. At our weakest time, when we can't hold it together, when we can't seem to find the way or the words or the how, and God is there. He's faithful. He is a faithful, faithful God. This word faithful in Deuteronomy 7:9 is a special word. It's aman, which is related to the word amen. Everyone say amen. In other words, faithful is a quality of being a pillar, being a rock, being an amen in the situation, something that can be relied upon. This word aman also means literally to be a foster parent. The Lord your God, he says, remember this, for the Lord your God is like an amen foster parent. He will take responsibility for anyone that puts their trust in him. I don't know if there are any foster parents in the room this morning, maybe in the cafe. Wave your hand. Wave at me if you're a foster parent. God bless you. Do you know that is such a powerful, powerful role to play? Being a foster parent means I'm going to take responsibility for something that isn't mine. And I'm going to nurture it and make it mine. I'm going to adopt this need. I'm going to take this person, this child, into my life, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to make sure there's covering and protection. Have you ever thought of your Heavenly Father as somebody who reached out and said, really, you were far away from me? You had been sold out to the enemy. You gave yourself to sin. But God says, even though in that way you're not my problem, I'm making you my problem. You're still my child. I'm going to reach out for you. I'm going to take you, your family now. One of the reasons why we can rely on a faithful God is because he treats us like family. How many are glad today that God is a faithful God? And that he watches over us, he loves us, that he owns us in that sense. He calls us his own. He's a faithful, amen, God. He's faithful to fulfill all of his promises. We can believe him, we can trust him, we can rely on him. He is who he says he is, and he does what he says he's going to do. And the Lord who is faithful also calls on us to be faithful. One of the most important areas that we can be faithful is in our relationship with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, and in his faithfulness, he called you. He called you out into an intimate relationship with his son. Let me ask you this today. A faithful God calling on you, come into relationship with me. Come into relationship with my son. Have you responded? Have you responded to his faithfulness? Have you allowed his love to touch your life by opening up and entering into an intimate personal relationship with God? You know, I have a relationship with Kathy. We've been together over 40 years. We've known each other over 40 years. We've been in love. Well, she's been in love with me practically from the first minute she met me. And we've been together for a long time, and I know this woman. I know her. I'm still figuring things out, but I know certain things about her. I'm in relationship with her. There are certain things that I would never say to her, hey, let's do this, because I know her. I know she wouldn't be into it. And there are other things that I know, and if I would just say, hey, how about this? She'd go, that sounds awesome. I know it because I know her. Same with her toward me. There are certain things she would never put on a plate in front of me because she knows I wouldn't like it. She knows me. Let me ask you this. Do you know God? Are you in an ongoing, growing relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about religion, because God has called you into a relationship with him. And will you be faithful? Will you be consistent? Now, you and I mean, we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to take our eye off the ball when we should be paying attention. Things are going to get away from us, and we're going to mess up. We're going to fail. At times we'll rebel, and God will receive us, and he'll forgive us, and he'll wash us, and he'll cleanse us. But we get right back in there, and we stay in relationship with God, even when we fail. Because he's faithful. He's our amen. He's our foster dad. He stays with us in relationship. It's also important for us to be faithful in small things. You know, the small opportunities. We all have opportunities every day to be believable, to be trustable, to be credible, to be reliable, to be authentic. And our faithfulness in small things has such an impact on the world around us, especially in our relationships. Never underestimate the power of faithfulness. to cement your relationship with other people. In Matthew 25, we've looked at this story a few times in this series, and I'm not going to read the story to you. You can go back and catch up with it later. Matthew chapter 25, we read the parable of the talents and how the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his servants and entrusted his assets to them. And then after a time, he returned to check on their progress. And those that had increased their assets, the assets that they had been given, he said to them, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant." So the whole story is Jesus trying, he's trying to land a point about the importance of faithfulness. He says, the reward comes to the faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then the beautiful passages about judgment day and entering into the presence of the Lord at the end of time and eternity when Jesus says, and we all want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He's not going to say, well done, you brilliant servant. Well done, you high IQ servant. Well done, you perfect servant. He's not going to say that. He's going to say, what I'm looking for was faithfulness, and you were faithful. You held true. Boy, I tell you, it's a big challenge in a culture like ours to champion the importance of faithfulness, loyalty, and being faithful, especially in the small things. I want to mention that promotions, you say, well, what do I get out of blessing? What blessing do I get out of faithfulness? Well, I want to encourage you that if you are faithful, God will reward you because promotions have a way of coming into the life of a faithful person. Promotions come when we are faithful in the small thing. That's the way the story ended. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So it's like this. What Jesus is really saying is, look, if you'll forget about the big stuff, just be faithful in the little stuff and I'll promote you into big stuff. People have a way of being promoted when they are faithful. What position are you in today? What role do you hold in the world? In the life of a child, in the life of a man or a woman, your spouse, your family, within a church, within ministry, within what roles is God looking to you to be faithful in today? Is God cornering you? Is he pressuring you? Or is he looking to you just to be faithful in a few small things that will end up producing huge blessings in your life? Another question, what promotions are ahead for you? If you are faithful in your family life, in your work life, in your kingdom life, your spiritual life, if you're faithful in those things, what possible doors might God open for you? God is looking for faithful people, and he will open doors. Can I have an amen? So God is faithful, and we can be too. Principle number two, faithfulness begins where we are right now. I love these people that are always looking for the big break. You know, it's always just a month away, a year away, 6 years away, whatever. Don't worry about it. Baby, don't worry about it right now. Pretty soon, it's out there. And you know how thin that wears after a period of time of empty promise after empty promise after empty promise. Do you know where faithfulness is really demonstrated? Faithfulness is not demonstrated in your intentions. Faithfulness is demonstrated in your now. What are you doing with what you have right now? What are you doing with the minute that you're in right now? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may not come. How's your now going? Be now. Be faithful now. Don't be thinking when I win the lottery, then I'll be faithful to God. I'm going to play around. I'm going to play the field. But when I'm married, then I will be faithful. Whoa. Whoa, how's your now? How you doing right now? Because your now is really the best reflection. There's something about this where Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, then what he's saying, there's a sequence to it. Kind of like, if you're faithful now, then bigger things will come later. But don't live for the later. Live in the now. Be faithful in the now. Be faithful in your small now, and God will reward you with something big later. We may have big dreams for the future, But we can only achieve them by being faithful in our now. I said this last week. Some of you laughed, but I really mean it. I'm a dream guy. I'm a faith guy, vision, all of that. My whole adult life, I've led people and talked about vision and gotten things done for the kingdom. And so that's big, and it's a part of it. But a lot of people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. So every once in a while, we need this kind of reminder, and it goes like this. Make your bed. I know you want to change the world. I know you're planning to, you know, to take over, you know, Africa. You're going to take over Russia. You know, you're going to do all these great things. But make your bed. You know, do the little things right now. Be faithful with the things that are in your hand right now, because we can only, write this down, we can only begin our journey from where we are right now. You can't start from where you want to be. You got to start from where you are. Hey, maybe you don't want to be where you are, but you are there. Maybe this isn't what you were expecting. Maybe you thought you'd be in better shape by now, but hey, baby, you are where you are. So start right now. Start being faithful right here. Don't say, well, when I get there, then I'm going to start. Start today. Faithfulness starts now. The life of David, my favorite character in the Bible, other than Jesus, demonstrates this principle so beautifully. 1 Samuel chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. We read there where how David was watching his father's sheep. Talk about a low-wage job. Talk about a dead-end career. They weren't even his sheep. He's babysitting someone else's animals. That was his career. But David took it seriously. David was faithful in it. And God looked down at David and said, there's somebody I could trust to watch over my people. Because God was watching the way David took care of somebody else's animals. And he said, if he does a good job with this, I'm going to call him to be king of the nation. And you know that's exactly what happened. Samuel came one day and anointed David as a future king of Israel. David received a prophetic word. He got a big-time call from God. But David's career didn't change overnight. He was still babysitting somebody else's animals for a long time. And God tested him in that place and watched his attitude and watched his faithfulness, even down to just a little tiny lamb. And that heart that God has, that God wants to develop in every one of us to be faithful in the small things is so important. There's a verse in John chapter 10, which relates to Jesus, and it really talks about the faithfulness of Jesus. John 10, 11, and 12, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Wow, Jesus considers himself a shepherd as well. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. You are a good shepherd. See, Jesus wasn't in it for what he could get out of it. This wasn't a transaction for him. He loves you. He loves me. And he laid his life down for us. If he was looking to get something out of it, he would have fled a long time ago, long before the cross. He would have fled when they started to arrest him, when they started to poke him. He would have said, I'm out, I'm done. I don't need this. I don't need to be faithful. But he stayed faithful all the way through the cross and all the way through the resurrection. And he's faithful to us today. He talked about those who had the wrong motive. He called them hireling. He said, the hireling is one, he's not a shepherd. He doesn't have the right heart. He doesn't have any skin in the game. The minute the paycheck ends, he's gone. If a lion comes, he's out. If a bear comes, he's out. But Jesus said, I'm the faithful shepherd. I'll protect you through all of life's storms, through all of life's challenges. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look, if you're nervous today about the Lord Jesus walking out on you, I got good news for you. He's faithful. He's going to stay with you. He's going to make sure you get where you're going. And whatever storm and whatever battle and whatever trial you go through, the Lord's going to stay with you all the way. He's a good shepherd. And he's looking for us, in essence, to be good shepherds as well, faithful in the small things. This is a quality that he has. He says, I call you to be faithful. Don't take off when the going gets rough. David didn't. The lion came when David was watching his father. You know, he could have said, hey, it was a lion. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to die for this yet. But David got up and he attacked the lion. When a bear came, he attacked the bear. He fought for the small things, for the little things, for the things that somebody else would have given up on. David, what do you do? You're hazarding your life. He says, no, I'm a good shepherd. I'm laying my life down. I'm faithful in the small things. Here's a question for us. Am I faithful in the small things that only God notices? Am I faithful when no one is looking? Am I faithful when God is the only audience? When it's so small, people say, don't even worry about it. You know, take the discount, take the shortcut, don't worry about it. Cheat on the form, lie, it's no big deal. Are we faithful with the small things? Because if we're faithful with the small things, we can be trusted with greater things. Here's the third principle. Are you getting anything out of this? All right, we're talking about faithfulness. We all have a relationship with responsibility, right? It's like, I don't like responsibility, but I'm going to embrace it because it's the right thing. It's what holds the world together. It's what holds our families together. It's what holds our relationship to God. He's faithful, and he calls us to be faithful. So here's the third thing. Third principle is faithfulness begins with what we already have. It's easy to say, well, someday when I get what I need, when I win the lottery, for example, then I'll be very faithful. Are you being faithful with what you have right now? 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter learned this lesson and passed it on. He learned it directly from Jesus. And he counsels us. Each of us should use whatever gift we have. Do you know you have a gift? Me? Yeah, you. You have a gift. You have something special that God has put into your life that you've received so that you could serve and bless other people. Now, God says, be faithful with that. Use that gift that God has given you as a faithful steward of God's grace. We go on to talk about the life of David as the story. You get it from chapter 14, 15, 16 of 1 Samuel. You get into chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, and here comes Goliath, one of the great stories of Scripture. And Goliath is taunting the armies of Israel, mocking God, foul-mouthed, foul, nasty things he was saying about God. And all of the soldiers, Saul's great soldiers, his trained warriors, were in the tent, you know, mapping out a nice strategy. We just need a little more time to strategize on this, because this guy, and they were scared is what it was. David shows up on the scene. He's been fighting lions and bears. He's been taking care of other people's animals. And this guy is talking that way about God and his people? Uh-uh. David says, let me at him. Saul says, you can't do it. David says, look, I've learned to be faithful in small things. Saul says, well, look, I'll give you my armor. You'll be killed probably, but at least take my armor. Take my bazooka. You know, this guy's big. I mean, he's tough. And David puts on Saul's armor for a minute, but it's not what David's used to. So David takes it off, and he says, you know, I've just got these little stones right here, but I've been working with these little things. Never underestimate the power of a little thing. David winds up with his slingshot. It looks like a toy. Goliath is mocking him. You're coming at me? You think I'm a dog? You're coming at me with a stick? Next thing you know, Goliath is dead. See, David didn't kill Goliath with a few small stones. David killed Goliath with his faithfulness. David had learned to be faithful in the small things. And in the end, it was the small things in David's hands, because he was a faithful man, that ended up taking him past the greatest battle of his life. And I want to prophesy to you that are in a battle today. You're facing your own Goliath. Don't look for a bazooka. Don't look for help from people. Just be faithful and trust in what the Lord has. God has prepared you for this moment. You stand in who you are, and you be faithful in the small things, and God will fight your battles for you. That's the secret. See, we're all trying to be amazing. We're all trying to, you know, be these incredible winners. All we need to do is be faithful in the little things. Can I have an amen? All right. Then David was commented on. A heathen king remarked about David's faithfulness. You know what this king said about David? He said, Saul, this guy kills giants. Who do you have that is so faithful like David? 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 14. Who among all your servants is as faithful as David? And you know when he said that word faithful? Watch this, guys. It was that same word from Deuteronomy 7, 9, faithful. Who among all your servants is so, amen, such a pillar, such a foster father, so faithful. Who among all your servants is like David? This is one amen dude. He is solid. And I think, what greater joy would there be than that the world would look at us and see some small reflection of Jesus Christ in our lives? That they would look at us and say, you know, you're faithful. You take care of things well. Who's this God that you serve? Because in some small way, our faithfulness reflects the faithfulness of God. I want to challenge you and encourage you to be faithful in the little things. Here's the last point, and then we're going to pray together. Let me give you principle number four. That faithfulness in small things produces big results. Now, here's the paycheck. Here's the blessing, right? If we're faithful in small things, great things will happen. God says, don't despise those days of small things, because small things have a way of turning into great things. Let me just throw something out here at the ladies today. Let's fast forward from the days of David, King David. Let's go up to the first century, the days of Jesus. In the days of Jesus, women were considered very small in society. They had no political authority. They had no civic authority. They had no military authority. There weren't military generals that were women in Palestine first century. They didn't have vote. They didn't have, you know, leadership. They weren't as CEOs. They were despised. They were really the least in society. It's said that Jewish men would say a prayer every day. I thank God that I'm not a Gentile, and I thank God I wasn't born as a woman. Because nobody wanted to be small like women. So here, when the military machine, the political machine, the religious machine of the day came after Jesus Christ, when they arrested him, women couldn't do anything to protect Jesus. They loved him, but they had no religious standing. They couldn't do anything. When Jesus stood before Pilate, the women had no political power. They had no way to say, hey, Pilate, take your hands off him. We'll vote you out. There was no power for a woman in that sense. No woman, when they started to grab Jesus and beat him and pluck the facial hair out of his face and spit on him, and they began to crucify him, these Roman soldiers, the women were unable to field an army. They couldn't provide a solution to rescue Jesus, so they just stayed with him. They stayed faithful. You know, these women that were there through the crucifixion, through the trial, long after the men left. I said the men left. And the women stayed right there. They were faithful. Like my German shepherd. And I'm not making a crass comparison. Talking about the beautiful quality of faithfulness. I think we ought to give it up for the women in this room for the being so faithful, right? Well, let me hurry. What could they do? Jesus' body was broken. Only thing they could do, get together some ointments and some perfumes, maybe wash Jesus' face, wash his body, wrap him, anoint him, that they could do. They stayed faithful to the end, to Jesus. And it was because while the men were gone, strategizing, I'm sure, working out some plans in their tents, and the women were there with the dead body of Jesus, that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a woman, not a man, not a preacher, not a prophet, not a hotshot disciple. It was three women who were the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus, because they were there doing the small things. What I'm saying to us is, when we do small things, we set ourselves up for big results. You don't have to do great things to change the world. You just have to be faithful doing the small things. God wants to use you. He has a big plan and a big purpose for your life. And I want to challenge you. Don't try to be amazing. Don't try to be rich. Don't try to be smarter than anybody else. Just make it your life's goal to be faithful in small things and watch what God will do. You receive this? Bow your heads, everybody. I'd like to pray for us. Father, thank you for this time in your word this morning. Lord, the scripture breathes life. It's a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. Thank you for guiding us. Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room. Some of us struggling with responsibilities, overwhelmed by parenting, overwhelmed with ministry responsibilities, workloads, career, school, classes, all kinds of things. Lord, we struggle sometimes with our responsibilities, but I pray for a grace, Lord, just to flood us right now so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we could be faithful in the small things and you would use us in great ways, Lord. I pray for every person who's weary. Pray for every person who's wondering what the future holds. Lord, I prophesy great days ahead, and I prophesy great things ahead for the faithful, for the faithful. Center us, Lord, in the faithfulness of Jesus. Thank you that you've never given up on us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for washing away, Lord, our failures and our mistakes and the times we've abandoned our post and we've run away from you. It's happened so many times. Wash us clean, Lord, and reestablish us as your faithful sons and daughters. Thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. How many of you in this room just really need Jesus? You just really need him in your life. You don't want to do it by yourself anymore. You don't want to be lost in your sin. You don't want to be away from God. If you're away from God today and you just really need him, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need God. I need God in my life. Just lift it up right where you are. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Don't even be shy. I see you, ma'am. Thank you. You know what? God sees your hand. Keep it up. Keep it up just for a minute. I see you, sir. I see you, ma'am. I see you, young lady. I need God. I need God in my life. I'm going to pray for you. Everyone that's lifting your hands, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, in the valley of decision, help us to be faithful, to choose you. We choose your love, Lord. We choose your power in our lives. We want to say yes to your plan for our life. Jesus, wash our sins away. Cleanse us. We invite you into our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Everybody, just take a look at me, and we're going to put a prayer up on the screen. We're going to close the service here in about 2 minutes' time. I'd like to pray with every person who raised their hand and every other person listening to my voice. I've talked to you now for 35, 40 minutes. Now, let's talk to God about what we've heard today. Let's ask the Lord to make us faithful. Here's a prayer that will get the job done for us. Everybody that raised their hand, everyone listening to my voice, let's say this prayer out loud together. Here we go. Father God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for teaching me the importance of faithfulness in small things and that big problems do not always require big solutions. Please show me the area where I just need to do a small thing faithfully so you can use it to make a big difference. In Christ's name, amen. I saw about 10, 15 hands. I lost count, but people are coming to the Lord. You don't have to be amazing. Just do your best to be faithful to God, and He'll do the rest. Amen. I want to thank everybody that gave in the Beyond offering. If you weren't here over the last few weeks, as we've announced, over 160,000 cash has come in already, and over 200,000 has been pledged. What that means is that we are more than halfway through the costs of our startup of our fifth campus in Phoenix. So you guys have been faithful, and I appreciate that. That's still a year ahead, and I know God is going to take us all the way across the finish line. So on behalf of all of us, thank you for giving. We're going to have a chance to bring our tithes and offerings, and if you're part of the GCO movement and in other ways that you're giving and honoring the Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. The ushers are going to serve you now, and we're going to worship the Lord for a moment, then I'll come back and say a closing prayer as we dismiss.
I invite you to come fill our hearts. Sing, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain falling like a flood. Rain upon my face as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire burn within my soul as I call on your
coming at this time. If you need prayer at the end of the service, you can come and receive healing prayer. just want to check in with somebody and talk for a minute, good folks are right up here at the front. Lift your hands and let me bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that strengthens us when we are weak, gives us the resource to be faithful, Lord, as you are faithful. Lord, let your faithfulness rest on us, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for all that you've done to spare us, Lord. Now help us to live for you, Lord, as never before. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Love you guys. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for being here. If I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hands. And if you need prayer, come on, join us here at the front.